Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. Thank you for joining me for today's SMIE Consulting Midweek Roundup. I'm your host, Marty Bennett, and with today's Thanksgiving edition of the Midweek Roundup, we're going to tie up some loose ends from last week's International Education Week and the impact of what we talked about last week with the just general open doors information. We're going to take a deeper dive into what some of the press that we've seen, some of the media coverage from this past week related to the Open Doors report, and we'll take a look at what some of those might have to do with what we do in international education here in the United States. So some of those trends are going to be ones that you're probably familiar with, and that will certainly not be new ones as far as we're looking to see what's going on with international education enrollments in the United States. So we're looking forward to seeing what we can do to improve our situation here in the United States with regard to international student enrollments, and where some of our kind of soft spots are that we could be potentially improving upon. So let's take a look quickly at what we're doing now related to international education enrollment. We're going to start first, as we always do, with a review and a shout out for our SMIE Consulting Midweek Roundup. The originations of our Midweek Roundup come from our newsletter. The newsletter is all the SMIE news fit to share. That's all the social media and international ed news fit to share, and that comes out Mondays at 9 a.m. Eastern. And you can sign up on, I've dropped the link to this week's current edition that you can check out a lot of the stories that we're profiling today. In fact, all the stories we're profiling today have come from that Midweek Roundup, from that newsletter that comes out on Mondays. And we ask you to subscribe to that. That comes free to your inbox every Monday, and then we pick three of those stories each week to highlight on Wednesday's Midweek Roundup. So there we have it. Now, well, let's first start with the Inside Higher Ed story that came out on Monday last week related to number of enrolled international students drops. And that was for most reports on the Open Doors numbers last week. That tended to be the theme. Third or fourth year in a row, depending on which numbers you're reading. Certainly the third year in a row, there's been a drop since a peak in 2015-16 of 300,743 new international students. That number has dropped over 10% in the last 3 years to its current level at 269,383 for the 2018-19 academic year. Now, what does that mean? So that's a decline of 10% in 3 years of new international students coming in. So that is going to have a knock-on effect, and probably we barely hung on to positive territory, 0.05%, I think it was, this year, in terms of overall international student numbers going up. But certainly, after three straight years of declines, you can anticipate that with almost 100% surety that next year's new international student numbers will be, our total international student numbers will decline for the first time since the peak of 2015-16. And looking historically back on the Open Doors numbers, we look and see that there have only been, I think, since they started doing Open Doors in 1948, this was the 70th anniversary of Open Doors this year that they were celebrating when IIE did their release last Monday, a week ago Monday, and only four times in the 70 years of Open Doors has there actually been a decrease in the number of international students studying in the United States. First time was 1971-72. No particular events necessarily that were attributed to just that 1 year. There were increases either side of that year, so kind of a one-off. Maybe a few big name institutions didn't report their numbers that year. I don't know. And then the other three times that there has actually been decreases were in the post 9/11 era in 2000, starting in 2003-04. You saw the first drops after post 9/11 impact hit, particularly from the Muslim world. So in terms of an actual drop didn't happen this year. In terms of the overall numbers, likely will happen next year. But is there any positives here? Certainly, the Inside Higher Ed story talks a lot about how, just beyond the numbers, and they have a nice chart of the overall of the enrolled international students, the percent on OPT, and how the numbers have been changing there. So while OPT is the only thing that's keeping us above water in terms of our overall numbers for on an upward trend, the undergraduate and graduate and non-degrees numbers have declined over the last 2 year last year. And certainly the first time in 13 years, and this was a story I think out of the Washington Post that I found particularly interesting and certainly one to watch, is for the first time in 13 years, there was an overall drop in the number of new undergraduate international students in the United States. So whereas they had still been on the uptrend, driven a lot by China, but certainly we've seen that number drop off with the most recent report. So there is some concern there, and certainly the Inside Higher Ed story reflects that. They also talked about their fall 2019 snapshot survey that IIE takes in collaboration with a couple with the U.S. Department of State and other or international ed organizations. Surveyed 500 institutions that there was an average 0.9% decline in new enrollments this fall as well. So obviously Open Doors takes a look at the 2018-2019 academic year. So that's reporting what happened last year, and there was a 0.9% drop in new enrollments this past fall, 2018. And then this snapshot survey seems to reflect something similar to that is happening now. Obviously, that's a smaller sample size. There's only 500 institutions that took part in that, as opposed to the 1,000 plus that were involved in Open Doors. So we'll see what happens there. Interestingly, from that fall snapshot survey, 51% of institutions responded saying that they reported decreases this fall 2019, in their international enrollments. 42% reported increases. So that's good to see that, with the remaining 7% reporting no change or flat. So that's where those are happening. Research institutions are the ones that typically reported new increases in new international enrollments this fall, and the numbers are reflected in the Open Doors numbers as well. And where master's degrees and institutions in the Midwest were the ones that most largely reported decreases in that 51%. So the other interesting trend that has been coming for a while, and certainly since the introduction of STEM OPT, we've seen that, is the drop in interest in business as a degree field for a lot of students, international students coming to the U.S. That's obviously been seen globally, with MBA interest in the United States has decreased in the last 3 years, whereas overseas it tends to have increased. But you are still seeing, primarily because of the STEM OPT extensions that are available, that allow up to 3 years of work permission per degree level for bachelor's, master's, and doctoral level students. That work experience has drawn students to the U.S. from India in particular, to take advantage of that 3 years of work permission. Math and computer science has certainly increased, as well as, surprisingly, engineering did decrease somewhat. Business fell 7.1% in the most recent numbers. Math and computer science increased 9.4%. So engineering decreased nominally at 0.8%. So there's a lot to digest, obviously, with this report. And when you look at the overall top 25 list, that is kind of a hallmark of the Fast Facts that IIE produces each year with the Open Doors report. If you look at the top 25 that are on that list this year, only 10 of the top 25 reported increases in their overall numbers year on year. So while India and China are still net increases, their growth has slowed considerably. There are some bright spots in there, with Indian undergraduates up over 6%. Taiwan, for the third year in a row, has increased again, up another 4% as it was last year. You've seen some other developing countries. Brazil had overall almost 10% growth. You see Nigeria up 5.8%. You see Bangladesh up 10%, and that's other than undergraduate, which had a slight drop. There's been a dramatic rise in graduate and non-degree from Bangladesh. Colombia had an increase. Pakistan, another strong year, 5.6% increase. One of the ones that's kind of the odd one out in terms of, you think, a country like Pakistan that hasn't fallen afoul of a lot of the challenges that other Muslim countries have had, you know, particularly in the backlash from the travel bans that were introduced starting in 2017. So there's some positive news there that there are some key countries that might be driving a lot of future growth. And certainly that Indian undergraduate market is one to keep an eye on moving forward. Now let's shift gears a little bit. Obviously, we're still talking open doors today, but we're going to check in with our friends at the Pi News. And as I've commented on social media this week, their report and their initial piece on open doors started with U.S. international student numbers at all-time high. Decline in new starts is stabilizing. This is probably the most balanced report of the ones that I've seen out there, and certainly it's an external piece, not a U.S.-based piece, so it does have, I think, a lot more relevance and kind of perspective than the U.S. media that tends to get overly politicized. And we talked a little bit about that on social media, too, how a lot of the reports, Washington Post, Bloomberg, Politico, even Chronicle, have laid a lot of the blame at the foot of the Trump administration. And they certainly are not blameless in this and have, in fact, gotten quite a bit of stick, rightly so, for their policies and some of their approaches to immigration-related topics. And those are ones that are well-documented and certainly will do much to put off those that might be looking to come here. However, a lot of the problems with these that the U.S. is now seeing began before Trump took office. The cancellation of a large percentage of the Saudi scholarship program, elimination of the scientific mobility program in Brazil. You see Brazil starting to rebound nicely now, not quite back to where they were at the peak of scientific mobility, but still making progress, positive progress. Saudi Arabia still is mired in a lot of uncertainty with where that country is going politically, as well as with regards to scholarship programs. So the Pi piece, Pi News piece, certainly reflects, talks about the economic contributions. And interestingly, we've seen some changes over the last couple of years. With regard to IIE and Open Doors, they have also tended to, in addition to providing very detailed infographics, some fantastic charts for data geeks, there's also a lot of downloadable PDFs that are country-level analysis of a little brief history of the last few years of their student enrollments, where their strengths are in terms of not fields of study, but levels of study. And I think that's been great. But what they, in the past, Open Doors and NAFSA's previously economic impact statement was used in conjunction with Open Doors, but now that's switched. And IIE is relying, and maybe it's because of their government ties with the State Department, they're working more closely with the U.S. Department of Commerce in a co-release of this data. And Pi picks up on the U.S. Department of Commerce piece that suggests that their annual survey indicates that international students are contributing $44.7 billion to the U.S. economy in 2018, an increase of 5.5% from the previous year. And that's according to the Department of Commerce. Now, where in relation to U.S. students, NAFSA's report, they had, I think, $42 billion this year. So they're fairly close. But interesting caveat there in terms of how IIE is looking at those financial impact statements of international students. So we're looking at, with the Pi piece, they highlight some of those particular developing markets, Bangladesh, Brazil, Nigeria, Pakistan, that I mentioned, the increase in growth in OPT, and that has really sustained us The Deputy Assistant Secretary for Academic Programs, Caroline Casagrande, told a press conference about particularly the OPT and STEM OPT, how important that is to continuing to market the United States as a destination. She talks about how there's been work across federal agencies to streamline the process and promote understanding among universities and local employers about OPT, and that the goal is to expand it. So this is obviously, friends of mine on the international student advising side will probably take a little bit of pause with that kind of an assessment from the Deputy Assistant Secretary of State, because of the OPT. Obviously, OPT is not something that State Department particularly controls. That's a Department of Homeland Security and a CIS division there that has been plagued with delays and embarrassing situations with regards to processing times and challenges and RFEs and all of that. So I won't go into that. That's not the purpose of this particular conversation. But what is, I think for my friends in the IEP community, you are certainly facing an ongoing challenge that goes back 5, 6, 7 years of declines in enrollments in your international or intensive English programs, and that's something that a lot of that was driven by the Saudis over the first part of the 2010s, but we're seeing now that those numbers are continuing to drop off, and don't know where that's going to end. But certainly, and what if there's any light at the end of the tunnel for that sector. What I do see with regard to encouraging signs, when we talk about recognizing, I've talked about this many times on the roundup, how the United States, though we have this global advantage of being the top quality, having the top quality institutions, and that has sustained us and allowed us to kind of live on our laurels for so many years. We've talked about how that has changed. The landscape has changed in terms of the global international student mobility competition, where there are other countries, other markets, both English-speaking and non-English-speaking, that are jumping into the game with incredible resources behind them on the governmental level to really promote their countries as destinations for international students. We've seen China rise up to number 3, just behind the U.S. and the U.K. in terms of post-secondary education for international students. They were 10 years ago, they weren't even in the top 20. Now they're number 3 overall. And we've talked about the Belt and Road Initiative and how that's been their soft power push over the last decade or so. That's part of that is there's an education piece of that that's driving a lot of countries in South Asia and Africa to become more connected to Chinese higher education as well. So what we have seen, it's at early stages, there's been some flickers of cooperation between Commerce and Education USA and State Department having a more concerted effort to promote the U.S. as a destination. There isn't a national international ed policy in the United States. We've talked about that for decades here in the U.S. But Education USA, at least, is now devoting more resources. There's a colleague of mine who used to work at States has confirmed that they are in the process of, through IIE, hiring out a global marketing company to put together a campaign to promote the United States as the premier destination for international students, promoting institutions at every price point. And that's something that we're looking forward to seeing and the results of that in the new year. So as soon as we have more details on that, we'll certainly be sharing them with you here. So again, our friends at the Pi News do a fantastic job in giving us a complete picture of what's going on with regards to Open Doors and what that all means for us in the field. I'll conclude today with a story out of India. We covered last week an ICEF report on how significant a role, we all know about China's role internationally in terms of driving students abroad. They've got over 1 million students studying outside China now. But India has over 750,000 now outside the United States, outside of India pursuing degrees overseas, a lot of them in the Gulf. But certainly U.S. is still their number one market with over 200,000 students now studying in the United States and on OPT. And Canada and Australia have certainly risen up the ranks. UK is going to be driving back up soon with their new post-study work options, renewed post-study work options there. But this article coming out of Business Insider in India highlights the 1 in 5 international students in the U.S. is Indian. It's about 18%, not quite 20. But and they make that headline in that kind of an increase, despite having a real what they call an onslaught on student visas in India, which fell by 40% in the last 4 years, the number of visas awarded. So, what we have seen with the Indian market, and I mentioned this earlier, in when we're looking at the overall numbers, that Indian numbers are still overall up. OPT's driven a lot of that increase, but grad interest, or grad new international grads, as well as ongoing international grads, has been down for India this year, 5.3 or 5.6%. But interestingly, for the fifth or sixth year in a row, we've seen an increase in the number of undergraduates from India that are pursuing degrees here, and I think that that is something we're going to continue to see a growth in. We've talked about how there are a wide range of tour companies and educational providers that are meeting the needs of U.S. schools that are looking to get into the Indian market beyond the international schools, get to the national schools to recruit those students direct from high school to university. So we see quite a bit of interest there in India at the undergraduate level, and I think that's only going to continue to rise. Certainly it's not, it's about 1 to 4, I think it's, 1 in 4 of Indians are at the undergraduate level now compared to graduate and OPT. But what we do see is with India, we've talked about this as well, that they tend to be hypersensitive related to work opportunities. Not only while they're in school, but also post-study work. That's driven a lot of their increases to the UK over the last few months. That has in the past driven a lot to Australia, and does so now to India, particularly through their vocational and community college network there, and has with STEM OPT here in the United States driven a lot of Indian interest, both in STEM OPT for undergraduate and graduate study, but also through H-1B, and we've talked about those numbers there, where upwards of 70-80% of OPT students are from India, 65-70% of H-1Bs are from India. Not all have come through universities in the U.S. before they go on for H-1B. There's quite a bit in the past that have come direct from India to the U.S. on H-1Bs. That may be changing as the current administration has reprioritized how H-1Bs are to be decided and give a priority to those that do their graduate programs here in the U.S. So there's changes there, and certainly India is really driving up that interest in STEM OPT, but I think that they're going to rebound nicely in the coming years, particularly when some of the issues related to visas get sorted. So we look at where Indians are studying, or what programs Indians are studying here in the U.S. Math and computer science represent 37% of all Indians studying in the U.S. 32% are studying engineering. So between the two, 69% of Indians in the U.S. are in STEM programs. So that I think tells you a lot about where their interests are and what their potential motivations are for the 36 months of work permission after graduation. And that's even highlighted here in the article. Sweta Muthana, director of Yashna Trust in India, a colleague of mine from Education USA days long ago, she's been quoted in the article, and she gives a lot of that. Some of the reason for the increase in enrollment is due to that STEM OPT. So a lot to cover, obviously, with Open Doors every year, and certainly this year is no different. But really want to give a quick shout out to everyone who's been listening on the podcast. Appreciate you sticking with us and subscribing. This is our 66th episode on the Midweek Roundup that we have podcasted and available for you on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Podbean, and Stitcher. So please, thanks again for participating with the Roundup, either by podcasting, watching it live, or the recordings on our YouTube channel. or on our Facebook page. So really want to wish everyone listening and watching a very happy Thanksgiving, and hope you have a wonderful time with family, having good food and good conversations, and enjoying that time with those that you love most. For now, this is Marty Bennett signing off, and we'll be back in touch next week. Cheers.